Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, it's Pentecost Sunday. Fantastic. We're going to get into a scripture straight away today which speaks about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is an account from Acts chapter 11 where Peter is speaking and recounting an event that took place. And he says, at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. He's talking about Pentecost. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Wow. Well, Peter is speaking before a group of Jewish believers in Jerusalem, and he's recounting what took place when he went to visit the home of a Roman centurion called Cornelius. An angel had appeared to Cornelius, instructing him to send for Peter and to listen what he had to say. And Cornelius gathered his relatives and his friends, and he filled his house with all of these people. And Peter came with his friends and preached the gospel. And as he did that, the Holy Spirit fell on all the people in that house. And they began to speak in tongues and they began to magnify God. And you know, despite all these miraculous things that took place, the Jewish believers in Jerusalem were shocked at Peter's actions, right? Because he'd gone and broken Jewish custom. Because you see, Jews in those days were not permitted to enter the home of a Gentile person or a person who was not Jewish. And such an act rendered them unclean. And so even though God had very obviously led Peter in that direction, even though they saw the Holy Spirit poured out on this house full of people, these Jewish believers were struggling to accept what had happened because they were holding firm to their traditions and the way that they perceived that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit should be taking place, that it was only for the Jews, that it wasn't for the Gentiles. You see, they perceived the Gentiles as less than themselves, as unclean, as unworthy. So how could they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This account, when you read it in your Bible, often it is titled The Conversion of Cornelius. But this event and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this Roman man and his household also led to the conversion of Peter and the Jewish believers to adopt a new way of understanding that God wanted to do something new in this new era, in this new time. That the Holy Spirit was not just for Jews, but it was for every single believer in Jesus Christ. And so what I want to suggest to you today is that just as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit challenged their attitudes and the traditions that were held by people in the early church, so too he continues to do that in us today. This is what believers can find so challenging about the Holy Spirit. Because the whole outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the most leveling part of Christianity. If to be full of God means that we have to be articulate, that we have to be theologians, that we have to be fully educated in the things of God, then that would fully exclude so many people from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? It would disqualify every person who was uneducated about the things of God. You see, you can study and you can know all about God. You can study and find out everything that you can about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, even the simplest of hearts and minds, can experience him. Even children can experience him. You know, in our kids' ministry right now, they are doing their focus is pour out, is on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Our children are being encouraged to experience and encounter the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be fully educated or a full bottle on who God is or who the Holy Spirit is in order to encounter Him. You just simply need to desire to have Him in your life. You see, the Holy Spirit is to be experienced more than He is to be understood. And this characteristic of the Holy Spirit can be such a challenge for many of us who like that assurance of knowing or understanding before we enter into something. Is there anyone here like that? Instead, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's not dependent on our understanding. And this is what these Jewish believers in Acts 11 were coming to realize, that the reality of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, where we live constantly being filled by Him, it does not require us to be more informed or more educated, but rather more surrendered, so we can encounter Him and experience Him at work in our lives. And so today I want to speak to you on this thought, surrendered to the Spirit. So like we said many times already this morning, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost was the name of a Jewish celebration that took place 50 days after Passover. The Passover took place just as Jesus was being crucified, and then 50 days later, Pentecost was coming. And on that day, that particular Pentecost day that took place after Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 men and women who had been waiting in an upper room, praying and waiting for 10 days in Jerusalem. These people were not waiting to be informed, right? These people were not waiting to be educated. They weren't waiting to be a full bottle. They were just waiting for an experience. They were waiting for an encounter, just as Jesus had instructed them to do earlier. In Acts 1, it says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" We know this baptism of the Holy Spirit as a secondary experience of Him. The first experience takes place when we receive salvation, where the Holy Spirit has done a great work in us to lead us to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The baptism is an outpouring of extraordinary power, the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us and filling us and coming and staying with us to empower us for Christ's exalting ministry. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does not come to you because you are gifted and talented. It doesn't come to you because of all the years that you've done at Bible college. It doesn't come to you because somehow you've been pursuing to be qualified in any way, or you've been a Christian for so many decades. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. And it comes to you as a fulfillment of a promise that He has made to you, where He promises that He will pour out His Spirit on all believers, where He promised that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. It doesn't come to you because you've earned it. It doesn't come to you because you're qualified in any way. The Holy Spirit is given to you as a gift, and there is nothing that you need to do in order to obtain it. You simply need to surrender yourself to receive Him in your life. You simply need to be surrendered. So today I'm going to share with you 3 points about what being surrendered to the Holy Spirit can look like. The first one is that living surrendered to the Holy Spirit challenges our desire for comfort. In our feel-good kind of world, where our lives are built around comfort, living our lives surrendered to the Holy Spirit can be a challenge. It can be a challenge because we have an aversion to being uncomfortable. It can be a challenge because living a life surrendered to the Holy Spirit means that we need to step out of what is always known to us. It means it may require us to step outside of what is predictable or what we feel comfortable with. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit can mean responding to Him leading you in sharing the gospel with somebody, even though you may not feel like it. It might mean responding to Him leading you to controlling your emotions instead of flying off the handle or retreating when things go wrong. It may mean that you need to respond to Him and that act of surrender to set aside time in worship or prayer or reading the word when you'd rather sleep in or watch TV or stay up late and doing something else. It might mean that as you surrender to the Holy Spirit, He's going to prompt you to work on that character issue or that relationship issue that you've been ignoring. You see, living for comfort and surrendering to the Spirit are two opposing agendas. One is trying to keep you where you are, and the other is drawing you into something new. You can have one or the other, but you can't have both. They are not compatible. Is it no wonder that Jesus described the Holy Spirit like this? He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may be with you forever." Can I suggest to you the Holy Spirit is known as our Comforter, partly because He challenges our desire for comfort in other things and other places. He calls us out of our comfort zone and into the new and the better thing He has for us. And in that outworking of the new thing, He does comforting. He performs His comforting act upon our lives, where He brings about healing and restoring and reviving and encouraging and lifting up. This is an important facet of His work, because as we surrender to the Holy Spirit, the challenge to our desire for comfort is met by His power. Jesus experienced this also. After His water baptism, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove, and God His Father spoke from heaven, "You know the one, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then immediately after that, the Scripture tells us that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. That's not a comfortable place, right? The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And in that place, He fasted for 40 days. He was tested by the devil. But on His return to Jerusalem, Scripture explains it like this in Luke 4. It says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. You see, though Jesus went through an uncomfortable time, because He went through it, surrendered to the Spirit, He came out stronger on the other side. He came out in the power of the Spirit. You see, every time you choose to surrender to the Spirit, rather than seek comfort, you embrace the opportunity to become stronger and more mature in Him. You know, I remember going through a season when things didn't go to plan, where there was loss and there was doubt and there was fear. And in that season, I remember all my failings and all my insecurities, all my fears coming to the surface. And I am telling you, everything in me told me to run away from that very uncomfortable situation. Everything in me wanted to avoid it. Everything in me wanted to dodge it, find a way around it, but do anything but go through it. Everything in me. But instead, I chose to surrender to the Spirit, maybe through gritted teeth. And I just surrendered to Him and what He wanted to do in me in that season. And as the situation played out and I stayed the course and I stayed surrendered, fear began to break off my life. And insecurities began to be restored. And wrong perceptions began to be changed. And by no means am I saying that I have it all together now, because I don't. But this I do know, is that every time you choose comfort over surrendering to the Spirit, every time you avoid that uncomfortable conversation, every time you refuse to be obedient and step out to that and do that uncomfortable thing He's asking you to do, every time you avoid being real with Him, you miss an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be your comforter. You miss an opportunity for him to come in and heal and restore and revive you and bring you closer and closer to the person that he created you to be. Come on, let's be a people today who are fully surrendered to the Spirit. That we would seek out him as our comforter rather than the comfort that the world offers. Rather than avoiding uncomfortable things that he's calling us to face or he's calling us into. And stay surrendered to him so we can become stronger and more surrendered to him on the other side. The other thing that happens when we surrender ourselves to the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit challenges our desire for familiarity. When my boys were young, they used to love playing on the monkey bars. Does everybody know what monkey bars are? Yep. Climb up the ladder and you swing from one side to the other. And when you first teach your kids how to do that and you get them to hold on to that first bar and they're hanging there, all of their weight on their hands, then you say to them, now, just let go with one hand and reach forward and grab the next one. And quite often they're like, I'm not letting go of this bar. I'm not letting go of this bar. But you know, you can't move forward unless you let go of what you're holding on to. It's so important as we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit that we be prepared to let go of the old so we can take hold of the new. That we be prepared to release the things that he's asking us to release so we can step into the things he's asking us to step into. You see, living a life surrendered to the Holy Spirit will always call you into the new, will always call you into a new area or a new space or to challenge you to do things in a new way. But in order to do that, we've got to let go of the old. He calls us into new things and new ways. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Cornelius and his family in Acts 11, it was a new thing. It was new for Cornelius and his family, but it was also new for Peter and the Jewish believers. And that outpouring of the Holy Spirit challenged their familiarity with generations of tradition and customs. And you know, I'm so glad that Peter and the other disciples and the people of the early church surrendered to the Holy Spirit and embrace the new thing that the Holy Spirit ushered in for humanity in that season. We today sit in the legacy of that, right? We today sit in the legacy of what took place in that season. You know, there's an account in John 20 which speaks to how we can be challenged in our relationship with familiarity. I want to share an account with you from John 20. This takes place after Jesus had been crucified and placed in a tomb, and then he was resurrected, and Mary and the disciples come to the tomb and they find that the body is gone. The disciples leave and Mary stays. She's left alone, she's weeping next to the tomb, and as she's standing there, Jesus appears to her. And John 20 tells us that Jesus says to her, Mary. And then she says to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. And Jesus says to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Jesus says, don't cling to me. See, Mary was expressing a desire to hold on to Jesus' physical appearance, his physical body. She was fearing she's going to lose him again. Jesus' reference to his ascension here shows that he was only going to be temporarily be with her, but she desperately wants him to stay. You see, living a surrendered life, a life surrendered to the Spirit, will bring us into new ways of seeing Jesus and new ways of living for him. But stepping into those new things also means letting go of the old. In Matthew 9:17, Jesus said, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. this new wine that he was talking about is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in this passage, Jesus' critics had come to him and they'd questioned him about why him and his disciples were doing the things that they were doing. And they weren't really interested in that. They were just challenging him because he was challenging them. And Jesus goes on to speak about this new wine because he knew that the real problem was that they were bothered by the fact that John's disciples, that Jesus and his disciples, they weren't following the usual way of doing things, that they were doing a new thing in a new way. And so Jesus challenges them back. And he's actually calling them or inviting them to be willing to embrace the new thing. You see, as we let go of the familiar things in our life, as we release them and let them go, there's a transformation that comes into our life. There's a new thing that God can do so that we can become that new wineskin, that new wineskin that can contain the new life, the new wine. Jesus' entire life on earth set in place a new way. A new way of doing life, a new way of relating to others, a new way of people relating to their Heavenly Father. And so did the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In order for these people, in order for us to carry the new, we have to be willing to let go of the old and allow God to transform us. We need to become the kind of people that can carry the new thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do. And in order to do that, we need to be surrendered and allow him to do that work, to shape and transform us so that we can carry it. You see, God is a God of the new. Scripture repeats the message over and over to us from the Old to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we read of a new song, a new heart, a new spirit, a new name, a new covenant. In Isaiah, he says, "Behold, I do a new thing." In the New Testament records Jesus instituting communion and saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant." And the writer of Hebrews says, "A new and living way which he consecrated for us." And in Revelation he says, "See, I am making all things new." This is what God does. He is making all things new. Even as we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, in Corinthians Paul wrote that we are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, a life lived with the Holy Spirit is never static. When we step into a relationship with Jesus and we are saved by faith and the Holy Spirit comes and fills us and brings us further along this journey, it means that we are becoming new. We are becoming changed and we are being changed. We're becoming new and we're in this continual process of being renewed. This becoming new takes place in us as we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, as we listen to his voice and we let go of old things and we take hold of the new things that he has for us. We become new and we become the new wineskin that carries the new wine. And the third point is this, is that the Holy Spirit challenges our desire for control. This is a tricky one, right? This can be a really tricky one for many of us. You know, when Jesus shared with the Jewish believers about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, he made this statement. He said, "Who was I that I could withstand God?" You see, Peter recognized the importance of sensing where God is going and heading in that same direction. Instead of trying to maintain control, instead of trying to persuade God to go our way and do our thing, Peter knew the importance of going where God was leading. Peter knew the importance of releasing control and leaning in to the voice of God. You know, I remember a time when I was out in my backyard just sweeping up some leaves in my back garden, and every time I got the leaves into a pile, the wind would blow and they would get all messed up again. And so then I would just take the broom and I would sweep them all back up in a pile, and then the wind would blow and they'd get messed up again. And I did this a number of times, and then I remember as I stood there just hearing the Holy Spirit whisper to me that I was this kind of person that's just like to have all my ducks in a row. I was this kind of person that just liked to have everything just right and just so. But I needed to start to allow and let him make a bit of a mess in my life. I needed to allow to let him have his way and blow some things around that I was trying to keep together very tightly and very neatly in my life. I needed to start to let him blow through my life and do a work, mess things up a bit and make some changes. I needed to relinquish my control. You know, in Proverbs 14, it says, "Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox." In Old Testament times, the strength of the ox pulled the plow and it readied the land for sowing. They say that a yoke of oxen could plow an acre of land in a day. And so they plowed acre after acre, and they would do that day in, day out. And the farmer would have the trouble or the hassle throughout that day as they would plow the land of feeding these oxen. He would have to go through the trouble of gathering food, of filling up the troughs with the food, and then the oxen would come and make this huge mess, and then he'd have to clean it all up again. He'd have to refill it all again, over and over and over again. He could avoid the trouble of cleaning up the mess, of the constant feeding and care, and he could have a very clean trough. But by doing that, he would also be limiting himself to a very small harvest. Only a foolish farmer would choose not to have an ox. You know, we can spend our entire lives trying to maintain control, trying to keep everything very clean and very tidy, trying to keep everything just so, keeping our ducks in a row, and never allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in us, and never allow him to come and blow around and mess up some things, and never see the fruit of the harvest of a life that is surrendered to the Holy Spirit, because we choose to constantly take control, because we don't allow him to move freely in our lives. As the band joins me, you know, on the day of Pentecost, the believers had gathered in a room. They waited and they prayed. And as they lent into the Holy Spirit, as they lent in to the promise of the Father, he was so faithful to respond. He was so faithful to pour out his Spirit. He was so faithful to release all that he promised upon those believers in that upper room. He didn't leave them waiting. He didn't leave them hanging. The promise of the Father was fulfilled as people waited on him. And he responded to them, not because they were qualified, not because they were educated, not because they were informed, but he responded to them because they waited on him. He responded to them because they were desiring to see that promise fulfilled in their lives. They didn't know what it looked like. They didn't know what it was going to be like. But because they positioned themselves ready to receive, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And that's his promise to you too. That's his promise to every person in this room, that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, that every single person has the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit if they choose to be surrendered to him. But the first step that comes before we receive that infilling of the Holy Spirit is that we would have a relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.